fun, no one is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANOACAGAPASLASLASCRRRMMDRAHAPASWALBAWNBA. What? Oh, WTF.
You all speak for the Women's National Basketball Association?
Nope.
Sweet.
Or any of the Anons?
Do we speak for WTF?
Sometimes.
What the F?
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Awesome. So, it's hot today.
Yes. Well, it wasn't super hot, but it was warm enough to make me sweat.
You make me sweat.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it was.
In the neighborhood. Hi, kids. Can you say anonymity? I'll bet you can't. Then you get about 60 days. It always gets me when you're doing some kind of reading and, you know, people get screwed up on certain words, but they get to any kind of word that even sounds like something you'd hear in court and they get it right. They'll be like, autonomous. And they'll be like, conviction.
Yes.
It's awesome.
That's fascinating.
More riveting stuff.
You're fascinating.
Sweet.
Just packing the recovery into this thing already.
Sweet.
Oh, we're back to that again.
Well,
what?
Somebody's got a banter.
Senor Arkansas, sweet.
Senor Arkansas,
yes. Wow. That sounds like you're from Arkansas.
Senor Arkansas. Hola. Sweet. Mi amigo. You know what that means?
What's that mean?
It means it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit. For booze.
Okay, shout outs to Sarah, Robert, and Fran again.
Well, I won't say it.
And let's say howdy to Howard and Phil and Bill while we're at it.
Hi, Howard.
Hi, Howard. Hi, Phil.
Where did I put the
booze? Howard's having some challenges, but I'm confident in his ability to overcome them. I really am.
Yeah.
If no one else believes in you, Howard, I do.
Okay.
If you believe,
and if no one else has told you today that they love you,
we do.
Well, then you're out of luck.
Then
I love
you. Tell you that.
Okay. In FLA,
Florida.
Thank you. Christina Vavra was walking around the 7-Eleven parking lot trolling for men. She's obviously a prostitute.
Trolling for men
at a 7-Eleven.
Does she have the right bait? Did you see a picture of her?
If she cleaned up, she might be passable.
Uh-oh.
At a 7-Eleven outside of the Villages.
Does she look good enough to shop at Walmart?
Oh, yes.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. Maybe not, because I don't know that her picture had her smiling. I don't know that I remember teeth. At any rate.
The no smile in a picture is a pretty good sign there's not very many teeth.
Orthopedic shoes.
At any rate.
In Palm Beach, even the hookers wear sensible shoes.
Yeah.
She decided that she was going to go with a particular gentleman, and she did the typical, you know, the way that prostitutes get around the whole loophole in the law, because if the police officer exposes himself to the prostitute...
Then they're in business.
Then they're in business, and she can't be prosecuted. Well, the police officer actually had a novel way to get the loophole around her loophole.
Wow.
He had something prosthetic.
He's entering multiple loopholes.
Duck a fake rubber penis in his pants. And obviously she couldn't see well enough. Maybe it was dark or something. So she asks him to expose himself. He whips it out. She touches it, makes sure that she... I don't know. I guess she thought it was real enough.
Are you cold?
Went to close the deal and was promptly arrested.
Doesn't it fall under some type of entrapment law? Let me pull out my phallus in front of you and then see if I can entertain
Pardon
the notion.
Me while I whip this out.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Well, I don't know, but it worked. So she went to jail for prostitution. I just thought that was interesting. You know, let all the police officers in our audience know that apparently in Florida you can do this. So you might want to check and see if, you know.
Here's the problem that
I can just see a bunch of cops going over to the toy box.
Well, here's
to buy toys.
What? Cop going to his locker at work, pulling out the big rubber dildo. Hey, John, what's that about? Oh, I'm using it to entrap hookers. Yeah. Sure you are.
Okay.
Jar of Vaseline in
in Denver, Colorado, we have two young men that are possibly going to, they're vying for Best Friend of the Year award. Robert Jeffrey
we'll be
Young.
The deciders of that.
Robert Jeffrey Young and Mark Rubinson. Discovered.
Rubinson?
Or maybe it's Rubinson. Rubinson.
I think it should be Rubinson. I think that's awesome. You know what? If my friend's last name was Rubinson, I think he'd be my best friend.
At any rate, they discovered their friend Jeffrey Jarrett dead.
But well, already that's not a good friend.
Delayed reporting the find to the police. Took his body on one last night out. They got his body in the car. They stopped.
Weekend with Bernie's.
Exactly. They stopped at a Mexican restaurant and used the friend's ATM card, withdrew $400, and took him to a strip club.
Wow, he's kind of stiff.
By the time, when they finally reported him dead,
did they buy him
a
couch dance?
He doesn't smell so good either.
It didn't say whether, by that time he wouldn't have been smelling so good.
No, he's passed out, but go ahead.
It didn't say whether or not they bought him a couch dance. But by the time they reported his death, they were then charged with abusing a corpse, identity theft, and criminal impersonation. Now, it's not clear how Mr. Jarrett died, but they were not charged with the death. So apparently they didn't have anything to do with that.
So how did they become friend of the year? Because they took him out for one last
soiree. They took him out for one last bar run.
And to a strip club.
Yes.
You'd think that someone would look at them dragging this body in there and go, dude, that guy's already passed out. Leave him in the car.
He would have wanted that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that cracks me up about it is they took him on one last bar run, but they used his money to do it.
He didn't care.
Yeah, what was he going to do with it? You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
This is kind of a sad story. I didn't know this. You know, everybody complains about how there's a big government in the U.S. and how the government's looking over your shoulder all the time. And apparently in Europe, well, in England, they have something called forced adoption. And this is really sad. This woman, Samantha, she's 23 years old. She had her 6-month-old child taken away from her because she grew up in foster care, which meant she was
forced
adoption. She had her child taken away from her. She grew up in foster care, so she was already in the system. And when you're in the foster care system, I read the whole article. It's a big, long article. When you're in the foster care system in England, you are tracked by family services pretty much your whole life. So when she had this child, when she had her daughter, Angela, she went to a psychiatrist to be treated for postpartum depression. And family services found out she had requested treatment for postpartum depression and took her child away and forcibly adopted it to another family because she grew up in foster care and was already in the system. And apparently this happens quite a lot.
Wow.
Oh. She is now suing the government because it's not just that child. They have told her now that any future children she have will be taken away from her at birth. Just because she asked for psychiatric treatment.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. She is appealing to, apparently England is in the European Union and they have a court of human rights in the European Union and it's going to the court soon to decide on this case. It would be a landmark case.
Wow.
That's kind of sad.
I have a wow.
Let's see.
Move.
We've got two, we've got the story of a lesbian theft run. Two 19-year-old...
They stole a lesbian?
A lover of the arts.
Two 19-year-old women fell in love and decided to go on a summer-long crime spree, and they have been finally been caught. in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania.
What did they steal?
They stole jewelry, video games, cameras, laptops, watches, $22,000 in cash, euros, pesos, poker chips, $2 bills,
pesos,
toy ponies, toy cars, toilet paper, a .22 caliber revolver, a Sony PlayStation, Nintendo Wii, knives, autographed baseballs, crazy glue, lubricated condoms, a Virgin Mary statue,
well,
sneakers.
You don't want to use those two things.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
A Virgin Mary statue,
crazy glue and lubricated
sneakers,
condoms.
iPods, baby lotions, and there was even one report of missing ice cream.
Okay. I'm just going to go there with this for a second. What do two lesbians need with lubricated condoms?
I don't know.
I'm just asking the question.
It doesn't say.
I don't even necessarily want to know.
It doesn't say. But do you want to
steal any baseball bats?
Yes. Yeah.
Did it say autographed baseballs? That's what it said.
Oh.
You want to know how they got caught?
Yeah, we're dying to know that.
The report says that they broke into a home in a neighborhood called Cardington, in which the owner keeps a lion. A lion. Rawr, lion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll do it.
A lion scared the crap out of them. They ran out of the house screaming, and the neighbor saw them and called the police.
Wow.
Mike Tyson's house.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a tiger. That's okay. You know what? Hangover 2?
Yeah.
Almost as good as Hangover 1.
Well, I've got a lot of mixed reviews on that.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was funny. You know, I mean, it was a little playful off the other one, but, you know.
Okay.
Hey, for a change, it had the entire cast. Everybody was this, you know, all the major players were involved.
In New York.
New York?
Well, it's actually northeastern states. The story comes out of New York. New York? It's going to be very sad Halloween this year.
Oh. Why is it going to be so sad?
Because Hurricane Irene stole all the pumpkins.
Ooh.
That
really?
Bitch.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of pumpkins washed out to sea. Because right when Hurricane Irene came, the pumpkins were just starting to ripen. And they broke off of, you know, the winds broke them off of the stems and they washed out to... One of the farmers is quoting and saying, I saw 20,000 pumpkins washing out to sea.
Wow. Can you imagine the one guy eating acid on the coast? Whoa, dude! Dude, there's 20,000 pumpkins, man. It'd be some video on YouTube. 20,000 pumpkins. It's like double rainbow.
I see 20,000 people floating in the ocean.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. I did that.
Goodness gracious.
Great balls of fire.
Gosh.
Okay. We reported on, this is a while back, in L'Aquila, Italy, that six scientists and official, they were talking about arresting them for manslaughter. Because they did not predict the earthquake that killed a bunch of people.
That's ridiculous.
They have been arrested. They go on trial for manslaughter this week. Because the officials in L'Aquila believe that these scientists should have been able to predict this earthquake because there had been several small prequakes. And they should have known. Now, the scientists' defense lawyers are saying the problem here isn't with the scientists, it's with the officials of the town of L'Aquila, because the scientists have been saying for years, your building codes suck, there's going to be an earthquake, and they didn't do anything about it. But now they're on trial for manslaughter.
What I would do if I was them is my defense, I would say, produce one company that wants to pay us money because we're so good at predicting earthquakes. And there will be none. Because if you could predict earthquakes, you would have the system that every country on the planet would want.
True. Okay, can we all agree that Florida is like the biggest party state in the country?
Florida! I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Texas and Arizona are like, if you want to talk colleges,
yeah,
it's either Arizona State or San Diego State.
What about Humboldt?
No, they're just all stoners, but we're talking partiers.
Oh.
Talking party.
Well, apparently, of the partiers that are Florida, the Florida Keys residents drink and smoke more pot than any other average Floridian and all of the rest of the state combined.
That's where our friend Dawn from the 12-Step Music Fest
lives out in the Keys. Yeah.
In the Keys, yes.
She lives in the Party Keys. Let's see. I'm trying to find the survey numbers.
You know why that is?
What?
Because the Villages is there. The largest retirement community in the U.S.
Really?
Is it in the Keys?
It has taken over. I don't know if it's in the Keys, but it's in Florida.
Yeah.
And it has taken over as it's the fastest growing alcohol consumption area in the country.
So go there to get all schlockered up when you retire? You retired. And after many years of sobriety, out came the bed slippers.
You've got 80,
the carpet slippers.
You've got 80,000 seniors and 55,000 golf carts.
Wow.
No, that's a party waiting.
I actually know somebody who was working on putting a business there, and they actually gave them the demographics on how much golf cart traffic went by the location they were going to set up in.
Wow.
That's funny.
So apparently they need a bar that also sells cigars.
This guy's opening a winery.
Oh, I know who it is.
Let's see. This is kind of a weird story.
Like some of the other ones weren't.
Like the fake dick in the cop's pants.
Yeah. No. When you go to donate sperm, apparently if you're a redhead.
Is it in Seminole, Florida?
No, it's just, this is a generic, well, this is actually the story's from Europe, but it's a general, you know, European Union kind of thing. Because there are quotes here from people from Denmark and Ireland and, you know, all over.
All right.
Apparently, if you go to donate sperm in Europe and you are a redhead, they don't want you. Nobody,
damn gingers.
Nobody wants redheaded sperm.
You want to know?
I've never noticed the hair color of sperm before.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean. I mean, you know.
Oh, okay.
I saw a weird thing on, like, the Discovery Channel. You know where they think red hair, the gene for red hair comes from?
Neanderthals.
Neanderthals.
Yep.
And they think that that's why when you look at ancient times, all the countries that had, like, Vikings and the Scottish and all those guys, the reason why they were better fighters is they were just more physically fit to fight. Unfortunately, not as fit to think, which is, makes me feel bad because I'm almost 100% Scottish.
Those are the Aryan nature.
Yeah, so go figure.
Well, apparently the most popular sperm type is brown hair and brown eyes in Europe. That's what everybody wants. Which I think is kind of boring.
It's awfully selective.
It's not what my favorite sperm type is.
Do we want to know?
I like my own. Thank you. It works for me.
Okay.
Less filling tastes great.
I don't know, Shelley.
What? Oh.
Just thought I'd throw it out there.
You're so busted. let's see.
Just a minor.
He actually had a question for you. Question. It had nothing to do with that. Your head just went there.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sarah,
sure.
Right away. That's where your minds went.
Yeah, what was up with that?
We've got a couple of celebrity DUI drug issues.
Okay.
Redmond O'Neill may be facing up to 9 years in jail.
Ryan's because, kid?
Yeah, Ryan O'Neill and the Farrah Fawcett's kid. Mm-hmm. He admitted in court that he had taken drugs that were smuggled into him in his rehab facility. So if the judge chooses to revoke his probation, he could be in jail for 9 years.
Him and half the other dope fiends in recovery homes.
Probably not.
He'll walk.
I don't know what it is about the Disney Channel, but it seems to me that a disproportionately large number of young stars that come out of the Disney Channel end up being just completely whacked and addicted to God knows what.
Like
go
who?
Go from Disney Channel to rehab.
Well, there's Britney Spears. Justin Timberlake gets stoned on pot all the time.
Yeah,
Britney
but Justin
Spears
Timberlake
is
like the anti-guy because he's like so extremely successful. I mean, he may be a dope, he may be a pot smoker, but it would be hard to classify him as a dope fiend because
okay.
Like he doesn't show up with this. You know, his privy sewing out of his skirt and his.
All right, well, there's Annette Funicello. Annette Funicello was completely whacked. And then there's Britney Spears. At any rate, so we've got Disney's new.
Frankie Avalon, that damn alcoholic.
Car crash waiting to happen. Shelby Cobra, I don't know what show she's on, but she's on the Disney Channel.
Shelby Cobra?
Has been arrested in Los Angeles for driving under the influence. She's 18 years old, had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.15.
Hey, good.
It's couple not beers. That high, but. It's high enough for an 18-year-old driving their own vehicle in Los Angeles.
Well, who shouldn't be drinking in the first place.
Right. I don't know who this is. Maybe you guys do. Matt Hardy?
Nope. He's
a wrestler?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
WWE and TNA professional wrestler was arrested for driving while impaired less than a month after a previous DWI. However, he had no alcohol in his system when tested. When he was stopped, he had slow and slurred speech, sleepy eyes, and a very lackadaisical demeanor, though. So
he's
they
a
still,
wrestler, right? So he may have been hit in the head that day.
a few times.
Yeah. Well, it could have been pills. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to do a blood test. But
I think the last time I watched wrestling, it was like Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Wow.
A long time ago.
What?
We're like way over time. So that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back. She ain't falling for it.
You're on my cord.
You are on my cord. So, Shelly.
What?
Less filling tastes great?
Are you trying to sleep with Weber on the couch tonight?
Well, look at the time.
Wow. Look at the time. So, Shelly.
What?
You got another topic.
The topic.
Shelly's been topic queen this week.
The topic for this edition of Recovery 101 is gossip.
Oh, my God.
Let's give them something to talk about.
I don't want to talk about it.
Now, it was brought to my attention that gossip would be a good topic for the show by my sponsor, because...
let's talk about her.
No, let's not talk about her.
Let's
on Friday,
her.
I think it was Friday. I think it was Friday that this happened. I mean, was it yesterday? No, it was Friday. It had to be Friday. At any rate, I am awakened at, I don't know, it was like 7:30 in the morning. I was trying to sleep in a little bit, and my phone's buzzing, so I get out of bed, and I go and I answer my phone, because it's a sponsee. When a sponsee calls, you answer the damn phone. Darn phone. Sorry.
Oh, my virgin ears.
She is in a positive swivet. She is completely upset. She's crying.
Swivet?
A swivet. She's very upset.
I'm going to use that word.
Because
for those of the people in the Midwest who listen to us, you want to explain swivet?
Swivet. Like, just turned all around, backwards. Just, you're so upset.
Is it a real word?
Around. Yes. Swivet.
Okay.
Look it up.
Of course.
Because she had been waiting long enough to call me in the morning. I guess she figured 7:30 was long enough. A tizzy, yes. Because the day before, the evening before, she'd gone to a meeting at one of the local Alano clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Where she had heard a rumor that was being talked about by a group of other people that Bruce and I were drinking.
Oh.
That's a sushi bar.
I wish I had been there.
No, they didn't say sushi bar. And you know what, to be honest, I didn't ask her for, like, the major details on this rumor or anything. I just, at first I started laughing. And I started chuckling, and she said, I don't really think this is funny. I'm like... And I said, well, and the first thing I said was, regardless of who said what to whom, it's really none of our business.
Right.
And she said, how can it not be your business? I don't want my sponsor to be drunk. And I said, okay, first of all, I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
And she was like really upset about this. And I have no desire to go and try. She gave me a description of the person that was taught that had mentioned it first. And but I have no desire to go and track this person down.
Do I know him?
I don't know.
Do you know who it is?
No, I don't know the name. I just know some distinctive characteristics that would probably, if we looked into it, would lead us to the person.
Whoa, I'm going to get him.
Yeah. Whoa. I mean, I don't have any particular desire to go and look into this.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go hit him with an empty wine bottle I've been drinking. I'm going to knock him out with an empty wine bottle.
But I have to wonder, I mean, there is an awful lot of... gossip, it seems, but there it also seems like, because we talk about our friends, you know, we go to coffee and we talk about other people that are in our group. Is that gossip? Where do you draw the line? What's between malicious gossip and you shouldn't be saying that and what we talk about, you know, but what's the difference?
Do you want to know where Impact House in Pasadena used to draw the line? Because this used to be a big thing with them, because people that come out of the penitentiary have a tendency to hold their mud. They don't want to turn anyone in for anything because that's being a snitch. And Impact's position was, maybe the guy that's doing something nefarious or the guy that's doing something is going to be a risk to himself or other people. So if someone's drinking at a meeting, their position was, it's your responsibility to let people know so that that person who's loaded doesn't talk to a newcomer and convince them to go out. But that if it's not a threat like that, then just chalk it up to that they're idiots.
I chalk most things in the program up to that.
Most people are idiots. Me included. What do you think, Mark? Where is the line between just discussing someone who's a friend like you would in any other situation, but because we're alcoholics and addicts, suddenly it makes it different?
Using names, I think, makes it a little inappropriate. I mean, if you want to discuss in general, give you an example. I go to a meeting last week. I was speaking at the meeting. Guy walks up to me. He manages a recovery home.
Okay.
Walks up to me. One of my sponsees was in that home about 5-6 months ago. Says to me, "Wow, I heard about so-and-so."
Yes.
I said, "Yeah." He goes, I go, "What'd you hear?" He goes, "Well, he went out." I said, "I was with him an hour before I came here. He's clearly not out, and he hasn't gone out. He's really doing well. He moved.
Merely moved out of the area.
Moved out of the area, moved over into our area so he could be closer to meetings and closer to those of us who he looks to for
guidance.
Guidance. But this guy had heard that he went out. And he said it in a group of people, and he heard it from one of the patients at the recovery. So he got it from a fairly reliable source, sort of like reading it in People magazine. You know it must be true. And you know
the
and
Weekly World News.
Yeah, and you know, and it's things like that where, you know. That gossip, he mentioned him by name and mentioned where it came from and all those kind of things. And I'm like, that's just not right. You know, if you said to me outside of a meeting where there's a lot of people standing around, "I heard one of your sponsees went out." Okay, well, that's a different story. But to mention him by name.
So in other words, like gossip that you can attribute specifically to someone rather than generally speaking.
I mean, we're all going to talk about things we hear. We talk about things we hear in meetings all the time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't use names.
We don't identify them to a particular person. Sometimes we even identify them to a particular meeting, and I think we're treading a fine line there.
Skirting the...
Yeah, you probably... Right,
we
should knock that
generator
off.
Generator meeting and things
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, we should
yeah,
knock that
who
off.
Yeah, but who knows where that is?
Well, because we've mentioned where that
and
meeting is.
And some of our
is.
Listeners do.
Yeah.
So I know one of them does.
Yeah.
We should stop that.
So, you know...
The TG?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So how about you, Shelley? What do you think? Where does it stop? Where does it go? What is? What isn't? I mean, let's say, how about this? Let's say, I'll give you a scenario and see what you think. Let's say that you hear that so-and-so hasn't really been going to meetings. They may even possibly be drinking. You're not sure. Is that something that you would feel comfortable talking to another alcoholic about, like in case that person needed help, or would that be gossiping because you'd be talking about someone specifically?
I think it depends on the spirit in which the information was brought to you. If somebody comes to me and says, "I'm worried about this person, you're close to them, and I think that they may be drinking," that's more of a, "I'm concerned, should we try to help this person" kind of a conversation.
More along like the impact lines.
Right.
If you think someone's in danger,
right,
it's your responsibility.
But like in Mark's scenario, if somebody comes up to me and says, oh my gosh, so-and-so just went out. That's kind of gossip because they're not, they don't want to help the person. They're just relaying information that may or may not be actually true.
Does he not want to help the person, or is he talking to Mark because he knows Mark's a sponsor? And he heard
no,
him.
No, I'm not using that.
But I mean, like, if you put that in another context, not necessarily Mark, but what if the person is coming to you and just says it like that, hey, I heard so-and-so went out. Doesn't throw any disclaimer or anything on it. Just, hey, Shelly, I heard so-and-so went out.
I don't know. I mean, people have said things like that to me a lot. And if I haven't heard the information from someone else and there's no need for me to get involved, I just say, oh, really? I hadn't heard that. But it doesn't generally, I mean, I may tell you because you're my husband.
She gossips all the time.
I don't tell. I'm not going to go to the next person and say, so-and-so said so-and-so went out.
Every day. What?
You weren't listening. You're just talking. This is your problem. You don't listen. You just talk.
Wow. How come you never say that to Mark? You'll be going through a diatribe, but Mark will be going like this through the background and the entire thing talking to Sarah because Sarah knows it happens. Look at her. It's really funny, though. Yeah, listen to her. It's really funny, though.
Jeez.
It's awesome.
Anyway, I think that some of it is the spirit in which it is intended. And also there's the old Sister B thing. You know, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If somebody needs help, it may be necessary.
I was out after a meeting with a group of people fellowshipping. And there's a guy in the program that is frequently seen around with other females in the program. Not whether there's anything going on or not, who knows. But all of a sudden this person said, oh my god, I didn't find out till just like so-and-so's married. Now the inference is so-and-so's married and chasing every skirt in the program.
Where just because someone's seen consorting with women doesn't mean they're banging.
Exactly. And not the kind of thing you bring up in a group of a dozen people when there's like three newcomers at the table.
There's an inference of something that may not even have any basis in fact at all. Okay, so does that mean any woman that's talking to a guy is banging him?
Brought him up by name, meeting he goes to, and car he drives.
Wow.
And I'm like, ooh.
Was it me?
No.
Oh, sweet.
There are also, this was pointed out to me by somebody else that I was talking to about this little issue we had on Friday. Not even really an issue, but there are people in the program that are just dry, that don't have any recovery, that are sometimes feel threatened by people that do and will start rumors. And places like Alano Clubs are hotbeds of drama, and rumors like that fly around like crazy. And I would probably say most of them aren't true.
Probably not.
And started by somebody who just wants to start crap.
As an example, what you heard. Like, for instance, we go to tons of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We do tons of commitments. We do a radio show on recovery. We work hard. We do all this stuff. It's like, where does it even come from? Oh, they're drinking. Really? Like, in between meetings, it's like,
You were seen at a bar.
No,
we haven't even done karaoke in months and months and months.
In long, you know, like
probably like over a year,
For sure over a year, and so it's kind of like the last time we went out somewhere was to a sober party at our friend's house, where everybody there was sober.
Yeah,
it's like if somebody called Shelly, I saw your sponsor going into a bar a couple weeks ago.
I'd say, oh really? Maybe I'll go. Because she's probably playing a gig.
Yeah,
and actually, when I mentioned it to her, what she said was, oh, I love those rumors. She said, they always fly around about me because somebody will see me in a bar and they always wonder what's in my cup. And then the next thing you know, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
She probably is.
No.
I'm just throwing that out there right now.
Are you starting a rumor?
I think Shelly sponsors drinking.
You're starting a rumor.
I'm not saying what she's drinking. Probably drinking Pepsi.
No, Diet Coke. That's her,
there
that's
you
her
go.
Drug of choice.
She's drinking. So you're telling me she's doing Coke when she's out
no,
performing?
No, just Diet Coke.
I heard you say Coke.
Diet Coke.
That's sweet and low. You know what? Do this for your friends. take a package of Sweet and Low, draw it a nice line under the table, point it in and say, look, Diet Coke.
But don't do that.
Ba-dum-bum.
Don't do that because people will look at you funny like we just all looked at Bruce when he said it.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the subject be?
I would say probably check your motives before you pass information along. Why are you doing it? If you're just doing it because it's juicy gossip, then you should probably keep your mouth shut.
I should probably keep my mouth shut more often then.
So I think most
of
us should.
You know what? I will be the first one to say that I've done it. You know, I try not to do it. But my final words would be, you know what? I've done it. I've certainly heard people. I've been involved with conversations where it said, hey, I heard so-and-so went out. And usually what my question to that is, how would you know that? Well, because so-and-so told me. Yeah? How would they know that? You know, me, I'm the big doubting Thomas guy. I'm like, really? Did someone see him go out? Or especially if it's someone I know in the program. Really? So did you see him go out? No, I heard it from so-and-so. Did they see him go? No, he heard it from so-and-so. Shut up. You know, it's like, if I think someone's in trouble and I see them at a bar or something, I may not even go up and try and help them at that point. Far less go around telling everyone. I've heard many people, though, but I know that everyone's done it. Someone in the program, they start getting loaded. We don't see them again. They're not part of the program anymore. People say, what happened to them? Well, they went out. Now, is it true? Yeah. Is it kind? I don't know. Is it necessary? Probably not. But I've certainly had many people in the past tell me that someone's gone out. If they, any, yeah. Whether they have or they not, but they have many people that have gone out. What's your final words, Mark?
Those who talk don't know.
Those who talk walk.
Those who talk don't know. Those who don't talk know.
Ooh.
You're never going to hear another word out of me.
Wow. Shelley.
She's like, shh. I can't talk because I want everybody to think I know.
And you do know that. You do know this.
What?
Who are our friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
They run an online recovery community where you can go and put up your profile, go to meet people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings, and you can go and go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free.
That's a bargain at thrice the price. Mark, do we have any friends back east?
Nope.
Not anymore?
Nope. Oh, we've got Bruce.
I heard he went out and drank.
We've got Bruce.
The other white meat.
In the city of Bromance.
And he did not go out and drink.
No.
I don't think.
No, that's Bruce in Pillowfilthia.
I love that. Where'd you come up with that? Pillowfilthia.
I don't know. Just kind of.
It makes it sound
it
kind
because of. Because of that we did a Boozy News story on oxycodone in Philadelphia.
Pillowfilthia?
Yeah, I think that's where you came
up with it. It makes it sound rather scuzzy there.
Doesn't it?
Pillowfilthia.
So, anyway, Bruce has the 12 Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up onto the recovery101.net site and scroll down to the banner link that says 12 Step Gazette.
Yes.
And you can click on that. It'll take you directly to his site where you can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription.
That is awesome.
And he will mail it to you as long as the U.S. Postal Service remains in business. You can also inquire about a franchise. You can contact Bruce, and he'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
That's awesome. Recovery Idol, don't forget that. You can make us a jingle. Probably by the time this show goes up, maybe we'll have one from Fran that we'll play shortly in one of the next upcoming shows. But you want to make it 30 to 60 seconds long, mention Recovery 101, say how great Mark is in it. You know what? We'll get one. We'll get one. Fran will be like, Recovery 101, where Mark is great and the others are fun. You'll be like, oh, perfect. 30 to 60 seconds only. It's a jingle. It's not a dissertation. It's not a full song. It's a jingle. Barry Manilow should send us one.
Yes.
He's the king of jingles. King Jingle. Mark's like, we don't need one from Barry Manilow.
Man of a thousand sweaters, all of them mauve.
Yeah.
He's he had a beige one once.
He's the king of the jingle, though. I mean, you know he was. God, he did everything. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there, and the American Bandstand jingle, and half the McDonald's ones, and we need him. Is he a drinker?
Not that I've ever heard of.
I heard he went out.
Stop gossiping.
We can get him sober. Anyway, you can send those to recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to join the crack staff, you can send us for our advertising staff, recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. By the way, you guys might want to go check out a website I found the other day that they're at some point going to write an article about us. It might even be up by the time we're there, by the time this show goes up. It's called TheFix.com, and it's got all kinds of goodies about recovery on it, and it's got a little bit of boozy news kind of stuff on it as well. Maybe they're patterned after our show. I don't know. But they're going to write a thing about us. And also the Pat Moore Foundation is going to write an article about us as well. Awesome. Shelley?
Yes?
What do you think I'm going to ask you?
8 days clean.
8 days clean. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found. Oh, you, by the way, they have a new website, 8daysclean.com. That's V-I-I-I, daysclean.com. You should go check it out. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Solutions in our world.